if the ushers would pass out the notes, my handout, yeah, and I'm not going to cover it all. I just wanted to give you some prophetic promises that you can look at and take home with you, not that we're going to look at all of them today. So every table, make sure every table gets about 10 of the notes. I'll get there in just a moment. But first, I'm going to take 5 minutes to address a few questions. Question number one, and we got quite a few of them, and some of them were happened over and over. I'm only going to do three of the many. Is the economic situation we're in right now, is that the Lord's purging, or is it the Lord's discipline because he's not pleased? Let me give a real quick answer. For a number of years, we had, John, why don't you come on up here and grab a mic and just weigh in with me, just in case you want to throw in something I see right there. Is Marcy right here somewhere close? She's happy. Okay, you don't want to come up here? Okay, you're happy. Okay, then Alan, you come up here. We can't get Marcy, we're going for Alan. You're happy too. Okay, we'll leave it there. Okay, question number one, the $20 million. Right now, our budget is about $20 million. For 3, 4, 5 years, whatever the number, we were about $20 million. And for 2 or 3 years, we jumped up to $25 million. And then we've gone back down to $20 million. And so people want to know, is that a discipline or is that a pruning of the Lord? Well, I think our error was, the error we made as a leadership team, I'm taking the lead on this. I'm not putting this on other folks because I could easily have directed us in a different direction. That when we went 20 million, 20 million, 20 million, 25, at a time where the nation and the Western world was in an economic crisis and downturn. So the global footprint said there's economic pressure, but we increased. I think it would have been better if we would have looked around the nations and not increased. I mean, received the increase of the money, but paid off some of our buildings and have assumed that the 25 million a year would not have stayed at that level and that we were going to go back down to 20 million, which we did the last couple of years. And so I think that was the error that we made as a leadership team. But no, I don't think that's discipline. And the reason why, I think that probably a fraction of 1% of the ministries in all of Christian history have had a $20 million a year budget. A fraction of 1%, and that's where we are now. We're 20 million. So I can't look at the Lord and say, oh, Lord, why are you being so mean to us? His answer would say, you're still in the top 1% of ministries of Christian history that I've given money to. So I would prefer you say thank you. And don't be troubled that you're not 25. Be grateful you're in the top fraction of 1% of the 20 million. You want to add anything more to that?
Yeah, I'll just make 2 points. Because one, when you hear these big numbers, these millions, I mean, we just kind of put together the big number of what the Lord's given us over the since 1999. It's 340 million.
Wait, say that again. And since 17 years, $340 million has come through our hands. Wait, stop. $340 million in 17 years.
But here's the disconnect, because someone's looking and they say, but I get an $800, $1,000 scholarship. You guys are getting a bunch of money and I'm getting nothing. And that's not a helpful equation to make, because you only have to look at how many people are in this room and you look at everybody that's getting an $800, $1,000.
And how many buildings we've paid for.
And you multiply it out and you find out that, you know, up to, you know, 50% of our payroll is, 50% of our income is actually on small stipends. And I'm dealing with those on a day-to-day basis and hating those conversations of, oh, I can have just a little bit more. And it's like,
because though it's been 340 million, today we struggle to make our monthly payments. And so we're leveling out, so we don't have extra resource cash. But the point being, the Lord has blessed us. And so though we're back down to 20 million, I don't see that as a discipline. I'm still grateful for the unusual supply he's given us.
But just a little praise report thing. We made a commitment last year. We are going to get out of debt because we are paying, you know, up to $1 million a year in financing the debt that we had. So this time last year, we had $8.4 million in debt towards all of our buildings. And with all of the different divestment and different cost cutting, Today, we're looking at basically 5.2 million.
So from 8 to 5.
Yes.
Okay. So 8 million to 5 million. And this building is paid off. This building was debt-free about a month ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So just for fun, this is the second time I've rejoiced over this building being paid off. I don't want to do it a third time. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but most of you do.
Yes, I actually marvel at the work of the Lord. Mike talked about the spike. The spike happened in 2009, 2010, 2011, 3 years. Remarkable spike. And the Lord gave us those increase for two definitive reasons. I want all of us to rejoice. It was during the time when America was facing the hardest time. The economic crisis was...
So the footprint in the nations was troubled, but we was going up.
We were going up, not just by a little bit. We have extra $15 million above average in those 3 years on an annual basis. The Lord was giving it to us for two reasons. Number one, He gave us a debt-free university campus during that 3 years for global equipping of young adults. He's making a statement to us that He wants to get the message from this place out to the nation. In the time when everybody's struggling, He gave us a free campus. Second point was that we were ramping out our global high-quality web streaming during that time. The 24/7 robotic telemetric technology that was web streaming, broadcasting that started in 2007 were hitting high gear from 2009 to 2011. So both of those reality, God was spiking our resources in a way that we lock up our assets. So as you look at our cash flow every month, yes, we're down. But as you look at our assets, all our assets are locked up in a very solid basis in our balance sheet. So the Lord has really blessed this community in a very unusual way. It's precisely time, and it's a blessing with a definitive purpose.
And I'll say one more thing, and then one more question, and then we're going to move on. But when people give us money for buildings, some people said, well, why do we need them for missionary stipends? When people designate the money for buildings, we don't have the liberty to pay missionary stipends. We have to use the money the way it was designated by the donor. And that's what was given to our buildings, to the web stream and other things, so we had to do it that way. Second question, why do we work 48-hour weeks when the government says 40-hour weeks? Because in the normal setting, a person works 40-hour weeks, then they have, because they're devoted to the Lord, they spend an hour a day with the Lord in private, so now it's 47 hours a week. Then they go to a church service, so now it's 49 hours a week. Then they go to a home group, so now it's 52 hours a week. Then they have fellowship and relationship building times and outreaches outside the home group. Now it's up to 55 hours a week, and we ask for 48, and they have to give 55. Because what I'm pointing at is that part of our occupation is going to church, small group ministry, outreach, and everybody else that works in a secular place. That doesn't count on their 40 hours, but we consider it ours. It takes them 55 to 60 hours to do what we're asking to do in 48 hours. So actually, it's a little bit softer load than the guy down the road. And the people who work in the marketplace are super aware of that. And they have mentioned it to me a number of times over the years. Okay, last question I'm going to mention. You mentioned specifically that we got off track a little bit in our end time message to make it more clear. What specifically? I believe that in our end time message, we haven't emphasized it in the same way the last two or three, 4 years. We're wanting to get greater depth and getting the message written on paper with greater biblical qualification. And that is what we want to draw back a little bit because we're putting a lot of time in that. And I believe that some of the discipline was our tone, the lack of humility, the lack of honoring other different positions. And I believe the Lord was saying, no, I want you to carry the message, but I want you to qualify it better. I want the young people you're sending out to have to be mentored in a different tone in the way they carry it. And so we're red hot on wanting to be faithful with that message, and we're going to really ramp that thing up again in the days to come. We've not let go of it, but we haven't emphasized it like we did the first, 10 years. But that is coming back again, but in a different context, with a thriving FCF spiritual family, with a missions-based functioning, with a clarity of the end-time message all work together. So those are my three questions. Okay, let's look at the handout. Just for a moment, I'm, again, just going to cover a little bit of this. You know, I am so confident in the Lord. Paul said it. He said, being confident in this thing, that the God who began a good work, the God that began something with us, will bring it to completion. I've never been more energized ever than I am right now about IHOP. I mean, I've never been more committed at the 17-year mark than I am right now today. And I've talked to a number of you in the last 3 or 4 months, and I am blessed by the energized commitment that a number of you have expressed to me, meaning the Lord spoke it. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than our weakness. It's bigger than our struggles in our everyday life. There is a global, eschatological, which means end times, you know, there's a global eschatological plan of God unfolding, and the prayer room, the prayer culture, the first commandment, and the bridal paradigm, I put that together, the gospel of the kingdom with the end time focus, as I mentioned Sunday, I laid that out, I tried to give some definition to that. Those issues are at the very front lines of the battlefront of what God is doing in the nations and what the enemy is resisting. The battlefront is about the first commandment and the revelation of the bridegroom king and us as a cherished bride. It's at the forefront of the battle is the prayer culture. The Lord wants it to fill the earth. And he says, IHOP, I have need of thee. I've invested greatly in you. You know, the Lord's really stirred my heart about this. The Lord's invested in us, not just us in him. He goes, I've given you prophetic words, supernatural confirmations, tremendous economics, open doors in the nations. I visited many of you and told you to do this. I brought you together. I have invested in you. And IHOP, like the donkey that Jesus rode, I have need of thee. I want to ride on you. And I have a purpose, and I've invested in the purpose. And I want you fully understanding how dear this purpose is to me. That being the prayer culture filling the earth. That being the first commandment and the bridal paradigm, front and center in the mindset of the body of Christ. That being the gospel of the kingdom, but with that forerunner spirit in the gospel of the kingdom message, being clear and in the forefront. And I'm saying, Lord, every one of these are challenging messages to us. And the Lord's saying, yeah, but I've invested so much in you over the years. I've raised up prophets. I've spoken audibly. I've set things in motion. I've brought you together. I have breathed on you. This is my purpose. This is dear to me. I will bring it to pass because it's bigger than you. And when I touch that mandate and that mindset, I mean, it really blesses me and invigorates me with encouragement because I'm like you. I run into the struggles. I run into the weariness of the day in and the day outness of contending for these issues. And the Lord says, yeah, but it's my thing. And you said yes to me. You said yes to me that you would do this. And I invested so much in this. And I want you to complete that which I am completing. I'll do my part. But I want you to do your part. And I found that I can do my part when I have a sense of the grandeur and the privilege of what's going on. I mean, to be a part of a global purpose that has this kind of zeal and energy from heaven. I look back over 17 years at our prophetic history and the promises. You know, I was just reviewing some here at our 17-year anniversary. And that's what you do at an anniversary. You stop and you remember and celebrate. And so I'm just going to mention a few of them. But as I was just reading through this over the last couple of weeks preparing for this, I just stopped and I said, Lord, you've really gone the extra mile with us. You've invested so much. It's not just that we invested, you've invested. Because what the Lord, the tapestry he's built into your lives, the tapestry, the multi-levels of what he's built into this movement, he doesn't wave his hand and it pops up. He builds it decade by decade. The understanding, the heart responses, the connectedness. He goes, I'm building something. It's strategic. It's multi-layered. It's decades long. And I want you to understand how dear it is to me. And I want you to see the privilege of it that I've given to you. And when I stop and ponder that, and I know that we have glimpses of that, and I get glimpses of it. But when I stop to remember, I go, wow, thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's rough, and some of these things are challenging. And it is real. I raised my support. I haven't taken a dollar from IHOP personally in 17 years. When I went to Diane, when we started, I said, I'm going to raise my personal support. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go 100%. And this is my occupation, and I have challenges in that. I've had them over the years, and people and relationships and things. I get that. I totally understand it. But I said, Lord, it's worth it to me. And the messages that he's given us, from the bridal first commandment to the prayer culture to the forerunner spirit, those are controversial pushback messages in many places in the body of Christ. And I go, Lord, and you've given us these kind of challenging mandates. And we're trying to function as a spiritual family in the midst of this missions-based reality. And I find it challenging. And I sometimes go, Lord, come on. And he says, do you know how much I've invested in this? Do you know how much of a privilege it is that you get to be a part of this? And again, when I stop, I'm talking about me. I'm talking, you know, I was listening to Rachel today and she did such a great job. I'm thinking, man, I get tempted in my own fantasy. What would it be like not to do this? Oh, Lord. You know, I got a lot of friends out there in ministry for 40 years, and I think they're, oh, man, it'd be easier. It's all fantasy, and then I repent of it later. But I get it. I get that. But I take times like this, and I realign, and I go, wait, no. This is what's dear to you, related to me. I mean, God has many things dear to him, not just this. But related to me, related to you, he said, I want you to do it. And many of you are called to do this for the rest of your life. I don't mean here in Kansas City, and I don't necessarily mean being an intercessor missionary, but you're going to be in a communities contending for the prayer culture with a prophetic spirit on it. You'll be contending for the first commandment and the revelation of the bride of the bridegroom God. You'll be contending for the gospel of the kingdom with a forerunner message. You'll be in communities contending for this the rest of your life, because this is really at the battlefront of what's happening in the body of Christ in the earth. September, you know the story, I won't give it, but the Lord spoke in September 1982. He said, I'm going to change the understanding expression of Christianity in the earth in one generation. Now, that's him doing it. I've had, you know, people that have, brought accusations against it. They said, IHOP thinks they're going to make the change. I go, hardly. You don't know us very well if you think we can do it. We're not that out of touch. We're weak and broken people. This is way bigger than us, but the Lord is doing this. And the Lord spoke to me, and I've told the story many times, and he says, I'm inviting you, this is back in 82, to a work that's going to touch the ends of the earth. I'm in Cairo, Egypt. I mean, I've never thought of being involved in a work to touch the ends of the earth. It's a brand new idea. I was quite content pastoring a 500-member church in St. Louis, a young adult church. I wanted it to, lead a lot of people to the Lord in St. Louis, and that was about it. He goes, I want you to be a part of something to touch the ends of the earth. I didn't go, wow. I was thinking, really? Wow, what? That thought's never entered my mind. And I said, I was weeping because of the fear of the Lord on me. And I said, yes, Lord. And the phrase, he said, you've only said yes. Many have said yes, but they have not yet done it. That phrase grabbed me. They have not yet done it. And doing it doesn't mean a year focus. It means decades staying faithful to the assignment. Again, I'm not talking about staying in Kansas City, and I'm not talking about being an intercessory missionary as your primary occupation. I'm talking about being in a community wherever God puts you, you're contending with energy for the first commandment, the prayer culture led by singers and musicians, and the gospel of the kingdom led with a forerunner spirit on it. And beloved, we've got to contend for those things. And the Lord says, you haven't done that for decades yet. That's what doing it means. Now, this was the first time that I ever had an indication that there would be some longevity. You haven't done it yet. Again, I don't know what that means. It's okay. It takes decades to, quote, having done it, because doing it is not about impact. Doing it is about faithfulness over decades. Because the great temptation of everybody is to quit. And what I mean by quit, I don't mean to quit Jesus. To draw back and coast. That's the great temptation of the leaders in the body of Christ, all of us. Love Jesus, check in a little bit, draw back, coast, Don't contend for that which God has invested in that's dear to his heart. Don't contend with all of your heart. Now, I've had moments where I said, Lord, I just want to just coast a little bit. I don't mean rest. I believe in resting. I'm not talking about resting. Resting's biblical and necessary. But I'm talking about not having that reach that we want to go to the next level together in the assignment God has given us. Well, look at paragraph C. Our primary charge, the audible voice of the Lord. Can you imagine this? I mean, the implications is my point. I mean the investment of God. He speaks audibly. I will establish 24-hour prayer in the spirit of the tabernacle of David. Why does he say that in a supernatural way? And you know, most of you know the story. And I want to encourage you to go to the website, and I have the 8 messages of just a portion of some of the prophetic promises. It is by no means the totality of it. I've talked to some people that go, we get the prophetic history. I go, well, not really. Only a portion of it is even shared in those 8. Those 8 are messages on the website. I want to encourage you to go look at them, even as departments. Maybe every month or two, listen to one together and talk about it. These aren't promises to me. They're promises to this movement. They're promises to your children. And they're not the sort of thing you want to go, well, I think I got that. And the Lord says, I spoke audibly. I sent angels. There were supernatural encounters that I released because I'm zealous, because I care, because I'm investing in this. And I want to encourage you to understand this is God who spoke. Again, it's not my story. It's our story, and more than anything, it's the story of my grandchildren, what it's really about. It's their story. They don't even really know it yet. And to grab hold of these promises isn't to grab hold of a movement. It's to grab hold of a man who is a king, to see his zeal for a movement in the earth. And our movement dovetails with many other movements. There's this synergism, so I'm not really into our movement, but ours flows into many others. And this connectedness. And the Lord says, do you know how much I care that I did this? Let me say it my way. The Lord went out of his way. I mean, God didn't have to go out of his way to lift a finger and create the heavens and the earth with one word if he wants to. He said, I want you to keep a sanctuary. We know the verse. We know it so well, we might not even register it anymore. He said, IHOP, I want you to keep a sanctuary. I want you to do a number of things. I want you to do a number of things, but your primary assignment, keep a sanctuary, because it's going to affect nations. I mean, many, many, many people, millions have been touched by what we're doing in our weak little prayer room. Leaders from all over the earth are looking at our weak little prayer room from the web stream, and they visit. And they're saying, we're going to shift our ministry to embrace some of these. And I go, this is remarkable. The Lord says, keep the sanctuary. Trust me, you don't get it all. You keep doing it, and I'm going to blow on it. Not for your sake, but for their sake and the sake of my name. Just stay steady with it. And every year in May, I like to pause and take a minute, which we're going to do in a couple minutes, and re-sign up. And not just remember the zeal you had in 2002 or 2008. Oh, I was excited back then. I'm asking you to pause for a moment. Remember how God spoke to you, whether it was 99, 2002, 2010, whatever the year was. And the Lord says, I want you to take hold of it again. I don't want just the visitors and the interns to carry this. I want this to be a community that carries this sacred charge, keeping a sanctuary. We got a Bible school, which, I mean, there's, you know, now in my new role with it, I'm just, you know, I look at Alan, I go, Alan, I have just the few months I've been even talking like this, I'm understanding the amazing, the massive amount of work. There's a spiritual family called FCF. There's so many outreach ministries. And I'm thinking, Lord, this keeping the sanctuary is getting more challenging. And there's many other distractions and challenges. And the Lord says, I know. That's why I gave unusual supernatural confirmations in the early days of what I wanted. Now, why did he do so many in the early days? Because he knew there would be decades of a journey. The journey would be long. He knew it would be long. And when we're in the heat of the battle, in the rigors of the day-to-day, we would look back. I mean, we have about 20 very unusual, I mean bizarre in one way. I mean bizarre, I don't want to say bizarre about the Lord. But I mean, just unthinkable to me beforehand, ways that God set this thing in motion. He said, I wanted you in your weariness to reflect on my zeal for this. And when you let go of it, and it's easy to let go of it. I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's easy to let go of the sanctuary and to get involved mostly in the work around the sanctuary. And it all counts to the Lord. It really, really does. And I'm super appreciative of that. But I want us all to ask the Lord at what level. And I'm not putting something heavy on you. That's not what I'm trying to do at this point in time. I'm not trying to, say, just do more, do more, do more. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying pause. Remember how dear this is. Why you came. There's a sanctuary to keep. All the work is so valuable for the sanctuary. But the Lord says, don't let that out of your grip in the midst of the work. And I'm challenged by that regularly. Now in May 1983, some of you here, I've made just kind of glancing, just kind of passing statements about the Mississippi. That was a remarkable thing that God did. It was remarkable. When Bob Jones came, and I don't want to tell the story again. I have a little bit more of it on the website in those 8 sessions where I cover some of this. I only talked this about 3 minutes, but a little bit more than I'm going to today. An angel of the Lord appeared, literally appeared. And I could tell you 3 ways that was confirmed in a remarkable way. I'm not going to right now. And he said, when you get to 500, you're going to go to 5,000 overnight by multiplication. Then after that, you're going to go to 10,000 by addition. And as Bob Jones heard this directly, and again, one of the reasons I believed him isn't just because he had a good track record by then, because a few other things happened that I was sure what he was telling me was a real experience, and I'm not taking time for that. And he says, the angel of the Lord told me he would give you a sign. He was telling this to 20 of us. This is May 1983, during that 21-day fast. He said, watch Mississippi, this will be your sign. And I remember saying, watch Mississippi? What does that mean? And he said, the angel said that 5,000 people, when the flood of the Spirit comes, they'll find a new home in Kansas City. They will be intercessors. And the Lord's going to bring them. There's going to be an unusual work of the Lord. And he's going to arrest the attention of these 5,000. And then after that, there'll be another 5,000. There'll be 10,000 by addition. Well, about a week later after that, the headlines of the paper said, flood strikes Jackson, Mississippi. Then it goes on to say 5,000 people put in new homes overnight by the flood. The exact language the angel used 7 days earlier, before there was that flood that hit that city where 5,000 people. Here's my point. I've said this over the years because people have asked me. It's been 33 years ago that happened. And people have asked me 500 to 5,000. And we've been to 500 probably a couple times by now. And I've said to people over the years, I said, you know what? I don't know how our counting lines up with God's counting. But I know this. God has a number. We may grow to 1,200. Then we may grow to 300 after that. Then we may grow up to 800. Then we may grow back to 300. There's an hour when we hit 500 by the Lord's orchestration. Then there will be an activity of the Spirit that is so compelling that people will say from all around the nations, I want to give my life to this. And 5,000 will respond overnight. This I'm absolutely sure of. But my point isn't, wow, it's going to be big, because I found out big is troublesome. Big has so many complications that almost just, you know, my experience in 40 years of ministry, I almost take a deep breath and go, oh, big, oh, Lord, really? Why? And I'm not going to lay all, I'm going to put the self-pity down, but this idea, the Lord says, you're on a trajectory. You're on a journey. I know the journey you're on. You don't understand. The Mississippi doesn't just mean something that happened in 83. There's crisis coming to our nation. Beloved, the crisis, I could spend an hour, many of you could as well. The crisis is mounting so fast right now. But a crisis, I don't just mean a moral crisis, that's what I mean right now. I believe there's going to be strife and limited nuclear war and a third world war, and there's going to be earthquakes and hurricanes and crisis in that way. And the nations of the earth are going to say, what is real? And God's going to be moving by his spirit in a greater way. And again, he has many epicenters of divine activity all over the earth, many movements that are dovetailing, and there's this synergism as we're coming together. And the Lord's saying, I've given a stewardship to this community. And I want this community to keep a sanctuary that's going to be an empowering and a resourcing of prayer culture. I want you to stay locked into the first commandment and the bridal paradigm. I want you to not draw back, to understand the gospel of the kingdom, the forerunner spirit, the Jesus in red. Understand it all, because the nations are going to be so confused in a minute. And IHOP, I have need of thee. Yes, you're just a donkey, but I have need to ride you. Stay focused. Stay faithful. The journey is long. Stay with it. A moment's coming in a moment. And again, the 5,000, I don't go, well, we finally made it. That's, again, far from my mindset. I look at that as 5,000 new people saying, where do I fit? And where are my friends? And where's my money? And where's mine? I'm going, oh my goodness. We're going to really, I mean, I take a deep breath thinking about that. But I take a step back. There's a activity of the Spirit. There's a hunger in the nation that depicts. There's a crisis in the nation. And the Lord says, I did plenty to give you warning to be ready. Plenty to give you motivation to be ready. I gave you many supernatural encounters. Remember them. Don't forget them. Don't move on without them. Let's look at paragraph F. Just take a minute on this one. This will probably be the last part of the, I want to do a little bit on the finances. Here in paragraph F, it says in July 3rd, in August 1984, two things happened in 1984. I've shared this once or twice over the years, maybe three, four times in 30 years. But our church is in Overland Park, you know, over on 109th and Row. And Bob Jones sees himself at Blue Ridge and Grandview Road at this intersection. I've never been to this intersection in my life. I've never heard of this intersection. We're over in Overland Park. He says, God's going to do something at that intersection. I go, where on earth is that? He goes, Grandview. You think I would have gotten the car and came over here and looked. I didn't. He said, I saw a great procession. And I don't know if the procession is spiritual, figurative. I don't know. I don't overly care. I care about what it means at the end of the day. He said, there's going to be a great breakout of healing. And he saw the Lord being carried by young leaders on their shoulders, like the Ark of the Covenant, like David's day. They carried the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of the priest into Jerusalem. And they were marching down Blue Ridge on their way to Arrowhead Stadium. Again, I don't know if that march will technically happen or not. The tremendous healings, tremendous amount of people coming to the Lord. And Bob looked at that, and he was in the stands watching it as an observer with a hospital gown on. And the Lord says, you won't carry this. You won't be in this procession. And part of the meeting is you'll be injured, and part of the meeting is it's even past your time. But it's going to happen. And then the Lord, an angel looks at him, says, I'm going to visit Mike Bickle, and I'm going to show him this directly from the Lord. So this is July 1984. I have it here, the time, the date here on the notes here in paragraph F. So he comes to me the next day. Says, Mike, you're about to have a heavenly visitation. God's going to raise up apostolic leaders. And what I mean by apostolic leaders, I don't mean apostle versus prophet or prophet versus teacher. Men and women, it's men and women, he said it real clear, they're going to move in the power that they operated in the New Testament. That's what I mean by apostolic, like New Testament power. He said he's going to do something in that intersection. And there's going to be a move that's going to happen. And it's going to affect hundreds of thousands of people coming to the Lord. I mean, in this city alone. Therefore, these kinds of things will lead millions and millions to the Lord worldwide. There's going to be a billion people come to the Lord as a fruit of all these movements doing their assignment. It's not any one assignment versus another. Everybody must do their assignment, and the Lord will cause them to come together. Well, a month goes by, and for a full month, you know, I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. You know, one of these days, Bob Jones said, he goes, you're going to have a heavenly visionary encounter with the Lord. You're going to stand before the Lord directly, like I did. And I saw that. These young people, but they were young and old alike, actually. They were leaders, men and women, with an apostolic anointing on them. Again, apostolic meaning New Testament power and authority. And that with signs and wonders and people getting saved and all that. And so here it's August. It's a month later. I've been thinking about this every day, thinking, wow. I go, you mean I'm going to go up? Or is somebody coming down? Bob says, you're going to stand before the Lord in a visionary way. So the night before, a prophetic man, which I've mentioned his name a few times over the years, named Augustine. He lived in Arizona. He called me on the phone. He goes, hey, you know that vision, that promise God gave you that he's going to visit you face to face? I go, yeah. It's 10 o'clock at night. He goes, it's going to happen tonight. Well, number one, I didn't believe it at all. I go, right. Like I'm going to have a heavenly encounter tonight and God told you. Anyway, it did. It happened that very night. And so as most of you know the story, I'm standing before the Lord. I mean, and again, it's a visionary experience. I'm sure my body is in bed down, you know, where I went to bed at night. But I feel totally awake and I feel completely there physically. I'm standing there before the Lord, and I'm touching my body. I'm touching my elbows. I don't know why. I said, because I guess if you're in a vision, you don't have an elbow, I guess. That was my thought. I mean, I'm touching my, I go, this is a bone. And I was doing, I am here. Again, Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, no one knows. I feel sure my body was down there, but I go, where am I? And the Lord speaks audibly by his thunderous voice. He goes, young man. I was 28 years old at the time. He goes, young man. He says, be patient, or there will be much harm and much turmoil to many peoples. And I remember he said the word peoples. And I thought, well, the word is technically people, plural. But I am in the presence of the Lord, and I've never been really known to be good at grammar anyway, Dana. No, about 20 minutes ago, I go, we was doing that. And Dana looked at me. She goes, we were doing that. And Daniel was talking. I said, thank you, Dana. Anyway, we was doing that. I heard the phrase, there'll be much turmoil to many peoples. I remember thinking, peoples? That's a strange way to say it. So I'm standing there. I'm in the very courtroom of the Lord, the very presence of the Lord. And I don't know what's going on. I'm in a room. It's filled with clouds. It's a room about the size of our seminar room. And I'm looking up clouds, everywhere clouds. And I go, where am I and who said that? I mean, I knew it was God. It was thunderous. It's powerful. Then a moment or two later, he said it again, but higher volume with a more intense tone. Young man, it was startling. If you are impatient, and impatient means... In the New Testament language, all through the New Testament means perseverance. If you are impatient, if it's not an impatience about or just a relational style, you know, like don't interrupt your wife when she's talking. Well, that my wife says, I think throw that on the list as well. But it's talking about perseverance. I'm standing in heaven because God says perseverance is critical to this movement. Perseverance, the journey's long. It's going to be decades. Perseverance is really really an important part of the love that you'll show. He says, young man, the second time, stronger, more stern. If you are impatient, if you lack perseverance, if you quit, if you coast in this. Again, I don't mean rest, a day off, chill here and there. Everyone needs that. That's not what I mean. If you let go of the press for the fullness, there's going to be damage. I'm sowing into this. I'm investing in this. You can't just let go of your part Because the Lord doesn't wave his hand and produce people that he's built these things into for decades. How many of you know that? He doesn't wave his hand and give you a 20-year testimony. He's done it day by day, decision by decision. He's built the tapestry in you. And the Lord invested in you, and it's dear to him. And then he went on and said, it'll cause much harm and turmoil. The impact will be devastating. I mean, many people will have a negative impact if this thing doesn't go forward. And I'm so perplexed. Then a few minutes goes by, I'm standing there, I'm trembling. The tone, third time, louder. I mean, it's intense. The tone, young man! And I'm trembling, and I just even begin to weep. He goes, if you are impatient. I mean, there was almost a rebuke tone. In other words, the Lord's saying 30 years later, he goes, I wanted you to know this is dear to me. This isn't your thing. I'm investing. I'm giving you an opportunity to be a part of something I'm building around the earth. And I want communities. It's incarnational. What I'm doing is built in lives and stories. It's not, well, I'll do this for a little while and I'll go do that. And I'm a little tired, so I'll go do this. The Lord says, no. When I speak audibly and send angels and do these, I'm really designating not only my zeal, but my commitment to this purpose. I want you to know how dear it is to me. So he says it the third time. Strong. Oh, I'm so rebuked. Suddenly, the clouds in the room open. And I begin to fall. And I'm falling, and it's dark. I go, I don't know where I'm at. I'm so confused. And a moment later, I see a bunch of stars. I go, oh, I'm in the sky or something. I mean, again, I know my body's down there. It's a visionary experience. But I feel my body, and I'm traveling. Then a moment later, I look, and I see the moon. I go, I don't know what's going on right now. Then a few moments later, the moon is real little and the stars, and I look at the duplex we live in, the roof of it, and I'm racing real fast, and I hold myself. I go, ah, and I go right through the roof, and I'm laying there in bed next to Diane, wide awake. And I went, ah, what was that? Oh, my goodness. I have no grid for this. I look at the clock. It's 2:15 in the morning, the digital clock. And I went, Lord, I don't even know what just happened. I don't even know why I got rebuked. I don't even know what I'm going to quit that you told me I better not quit. I don't even get it. A moment later, I'm there for a few moments. Suddenly, wide awake, I go straight up again. And I'm going up so fast. Again, I'm sure my body's down there, but my elbow is still with me somehow. That was my trusted elbow. That was my litmus test to figure out if I was here or there. And I asked Bob Jones later. He goes, yeah, that's how it is. You don't quite know how that works. I go, have you ever grabbed your elbow? He goes, well, I never really touched my elbow, but I know what you're talking about. So I go up, and all of a sudden, I see the moon. Then I see the stars. Then I'm back up in that room again. And I am really scared. I'm going, oh, no, this room. And I'm guarded. And the same voice that said, do not quit, in essence, be patient, he pointed. And all of a sudden, there was a chariot that appeared. And he says, get in the chariot. And I said, and I fell down before the Lord. You know, because Bob Jones told me 30 days earlier this was going to happen. So I was practicing the whole 30 days. Elijah, Elisha, go for the double. Be bold, man of faith, double. Give me the double. Hit the ground, not three times with the arrow in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, seven times. I'm going to hit it 14 times. God's never dealt with a man like this. 14 times. I'm practicing it. I'm serious. It's not funny. It's kind of cute now, but it wasn't then. I'm going to pound that thing out till he tells me to stop hitting that arrow. I get up there, he says, get in the chariot. I fall down, wailing, and I go, no! I renounced everything I practiced. Funny now, not funny then. And the Lord says, I've ordained this for you. And two angels picked me up. I felt their hands grip me. I mean, I felt the physical grip, but again, I'm sure I'm down there. And they put me in this chariot. And this chariot speaks of a divine purpose. It's a, I have no question that it has a global eschatological dimension to it. And Bob Jones told me the month before there was going to be a whole company of people that he was going to call into this purpose in this way with apostolic power. So I'm in this chariot and I'm just wrung out because first I've been rebuked. I've gone up and down. Now I've been told to go in. I feel and I cry out in my spirit. It's not justice that a man like me could be in that place. I can't. It's injustice. It's wrong. So I'm in the chariot. And then the chariot takes off and goes into this vast blue expanse. And the Lord tells me the revelation of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his heart. I'm going to bring you into greater understanding of my heart. And as I'm going into it, I look over my shoulder, and I'm skipping a few points. And the next guy or gal, there's this line of people, just like Bob Jones 30 days earlier. Again, our church is in Overland Park. But he sees them there at this intersection. I mean, right there, 20 yards from here. From our parking lot. I don't even know this place exists. And there's a whole company of young people. And I don't know if they were young and now they're old. That was 30 years ago. But I was understanding it was old and young, male and female, because the Lord showed that to Bob. It'd be old and young, male and female. And they were crying out, no, no. And the Lord carried them and put them in. And so then I go up into this blue expanse of the revelation of God. Then it's over. And I go there for a while, and it just goes on and on. And it's over. And now I begin to fall again. And as I'm falling, it's pure black. And I said in my mind, in a moment, the stars are going to show up. A moment later, I saw the stars. I go, in another moment, I'm going to see the moon. I know this sounds so bizarre. If you told me, I wouldn't believe you. I looked over and there was the moon. I mean, like right over there. Then I go racing down for a while. I have this sensation of falling. Again, I keep touching myself. I keep going, oh my God, this is really happening. I go right through the roof again. I hold myself. I go, ah, just like the first. I go right through the roof and I land right next to Diane. Wide awake, still wide awake. And I go, oh my gosh. And I look at the clock. It's still 2:15. No time has passed on the clock. I can't figure that one out at all. But the Lord wanted me to know it was real, but visionary, but real, but visionary. I think Paul said it right. In the body, out of the body. He goes, I don't know. I don't get it. But here's the point. God spoke, and this is one of many stories. He is going to raise up anointed men and women. They were going to gather at the corner of Blue Ridge and Grandview Road. Again, we're over in Overland Park. I've never seen this corner. I don't know this building exists here. And the issue was power evangelism, signs and wonders. Hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord in this city alone. Tremendous healings, but the like kind would be happening around the earth. But it's around the prayer culture. It's in a time of crisis. It's in the presence of a bridegroom God, filled with desire, but powerful, majestic. He says, I have need of thee. This purpose I'm going to use and affect the earth. IHOP, I have need of thee to do this. Well, I thought, you know, I'm 1984, I'm 28. It will surely be happening by 1994 when I'm 38. I mean, by then it will be almost too late. 2004, when I'm whatever, eight, whatever, you know. And I look back and the Lord says, no, there's a decade plan. I'm building it in you. I'm building this tapestry in a number of you. It has a global, it has an eschatological purpose. It's for such a time as this. The nation, America, is in such a verge of crisis, of nuclear war, civil unrest, the moral darkness, demonic, I mean the where we're going to be in 5 years is unthinkable to me without a divine breakthrough. The prayer movement, God is exploding it in the earth. I mean, back then when I had that experience in 1984, there were 25 24-hour houses of prayer in the earth. And they were houses of prayer where it's just one person in the room at a time passing the baton. There were 25 of them when I had that experience. Today, there's about 25,000 of them. The prayer room is exploding in the earth. There's stadium events in the last 10 years.
million-member prayer meetings in Nigeria, places like Brazil, worship gatherings, Kenya, Indonesia, the massive numbers of prayer gatherings in the last 10 years. The Bride of Christ message is becoming clear. The forerunner spirit is going forth. And the Lord says, IHOP, I have need of thee. Be faithful to keep that sanctuary. We have so much work to do. We all do. I understand that. And I can't put it all together for every individual life. But I know this. Perseverance, I'll end with this. Perseverance. And I'm going to have Justin come up because we're going to skip the small group discussion. I got a little bit long-winded on that story. And we're going to fill out our sacred trust. So I'm going to have Justin come up and then we're going to come to an end real quick and have the dessert time just for so you can talk and stuff. But I know this, that perseverance only works with love. We can't just suck it up and work harder. He says, I want you to encounter me. I am the bridegroom God. I want to tenderize you. I want you to do it together. I want you, you'll do so much more when you touch each other. I want community. And I want intimacy with me and community because love is the only way perseverance works. You know, the one great general, of course, many stories have been told. They said that in the foxhole, the soldier is in the war for his country. But he says he only risks his life in the battle for the soldier next to him that he's been bonded to in love. There is so much courage that comes when our hearts connect together. I mean, we're in a big war, and we're connecting to the king. We have that extra dimension. But when we connect to each other, we see the global picture of what's going on. It's remarkable what's happening. The Lord says, I've sent you angels. I've sent you heavenly experiences. I've sent you supernatural finances. I've sent you audible voices. I've brought you into leadership with the top leaders of the earth. I'm breathing this thing around the earth. IHOP, I have need of thee in this hour. Remember who has called you. Remember how I called you. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Beloved, our times in the prayer room, it's not just, well, I'm going to do a little prayer room time and, you know, because, you know, whatever. It's sacred. The Lord went out of his way. Again, that's not the right word. It's sacred to him, this sanctuary. This sanctuary is inspiring and resourcing so many more people than we deserve to be impacting. I look at you, I look at me, I go, Lord, this is the best people I've ever worked with in my life. You are the most noble people, but you're weak and broken like I am. Most noble, I love you and have so much respect for the sacrifices you made. But I go, Lord, we're folk. We're just folk. Our impact is setting a stage for people around the earth to be touched. I am blown away. I go, Lord, how can us do that? He goes, it's not. It's me, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. This is bigger than dedication. It's bigger than good leadership. I'm whispering to people. I'm signing them up. But beloved, you have to keep re-signing up because he won't force you to re-sign up. So I'm calling you from 2002, 2008, 2000, whatever, the stirring you had, the zeal, the commitment to re-sign up again. That sanctuary, if we keep that sanctuary, everything else falls into place. Some of you will do it 6 hours, six prayer meetings a week. Some will do nine. Some will do 12. Some will do more. I'm not trying to be pound on nobody. There's a man who loves us that we love. There's a company that we love one another. There's a people, a fraternity, a family. We love them. They love us. We know many of them. Many of them we've not met yet. We're doing it for love. And beloved, it's worth it. So I want to ask you, every one of you, to take this paper here, this yellow paper. It's only one or two things. You got pens on the table there. You only sign one or two things. And where it says full-time staff, 12 prayer meetings, you may not do 12. You say, you know what? I'm really doing 9. And I'm full-time staff, or I'm doing 6. I want you to check that box, but tell us on the other side what you will really do. I mean, by the grace of God, you'll drop the ball sometimes, but what you will really do. I don't want the box. I want your heart. I want you to say, you know what? I'm in this department, that department. I do four. If you want to be honest, I do four. I need to do more, but you know what? I do four. Put the four down. I don't want the unreality of it, and I don't want, like, you're just bad. You do four. I want to get that out of the equation. I want us as a family to start moving towards this together. We want people to aim at the 6 and the 12 or whatever number, but I want you to put the number that the prayer meetings that will be sacred. When a friend comes, you don't skip the prayer meeting to go do a socializing, or someone comes from out of town. Again, you might do it later that day, but it's sacred. God's spoken. It's dear to him. Keep the sanctuary is what he told us to do. Now, if you change your times, you got to do it electronically. They don't want to get, 500 of these, and then they have to change everyone. If you change it, do it electronically. But I want us to put our name on something before the Lord that I'm going to have in just a moment. Go ahead and fill it out. Then I'm going to have the worship teams that are hosting this meeting to come and pick them up from the table and come up here, and they're going to present them to the Lord. But you're signing your name before God. But I want everybody on our staff to fill one of these out, and I'm asking that nobody neglect this. This is bigger than, you might not do the numbers that are on here, but put the real numbers you will do. And I've asked our accounting team, I don't want any money or missionary stipends to go out, whatever the date is, June 1st or something, I think it's June 1st, unless they get this paper. This is too big to go, we're just going to skip this one. The Lord says, no, strengthen that which remains. Take hold of this. Remember, do this. Maybe some people say, I don't really want to do this anymore. I want to bless you for the years you were here, and I want to help you be where you belong in the will of God. There's no shame in doing the will of God. Maybe it's not here. But if it is here, it's got to be about keeping this sanctuary on the platform and in the chairs. Now we do all the other work, and all the work makes the sanctuary work. It really, really does. Really, really does. I really thank you for that. And I so appreciate the people that are here for a year or two and go somewhere else. They're heroes to me. I celebrate them. I don't look at them and say, why'd you quit? They're contending in the city they are for these things I said, the first commandment, the prayer culture, the forerunner spirit. But if you're in this family, I want a statement from you and God written on this piece of paper that it's by the grace of God. There is going to be weakness in it, but it's what you're serious about. Amen. Justin, I'm just going to ask no conversations in the room for about the next 3 or 4 minutes. And when your table is ready, pass them to one person and then hold it up and somebody will pick it up. And then when you pick it up, come bring it up here.